the evil tree in the garden, we've wanted to play God. Ever since we put God on the witness stand, we cross-examine him. He must give answer to us and our questions. God must give an account. His ways are too strange. Why have you done it this way? Who do you think you are doing things like that? It's strange then that when it comes to reading the Gospels, we don't ask these sorts of questions. We're not shocked by the apparent injustice and horror of Christ on the cross. Who asks God to explain himself? Why does he die? Why does he hang on the tree as a cursed man? Why don't we ask these questions? But then we're so upset by Uzzah and the ark. Is it because it's too familiar? Is it because, well, we get the benefits for this one, but it's just hard to see the justice in Lot's wife crystallized? Is it because this is God's plan? Well, wasn't it God's plan for Uzzah? Is it because Christ goes willingly and lovingly? Is it because we strangely note that it is just? This is justice for the sins of the world. If this was God's plan, then this is what sins deserve. This is the due penalty. But why don't we cry out, "This is wrong"? Is there no shock by the cross and who was on it? What had Jesus done? He forgave sins. He healed the sick. He gave sight to the blind. He made the paralytic walk. He raised the dead. He fed the 5,000. He calmed the storm. He prayed, preached. He told parables. And who was hung then between the two criminals? Whose arms are outstretched? It's hard to make out just who it is, with blood flowing over his whole body, marred beyond human semblance. Who does the crowd mock? To whom do they give gall and vinegar to drink? Who do they torture to death in a most gruesome way? Whoever it is, that man must have done something truly terrible to deserve that sort of fate, punishment, and end. But on the center cross, it was no criminal. The criminal crucified to his right acknowledged that he himself was suffering justly, but that even that criminal said this of the one on the center cross, Jesus: "But this man has done nothing wrong." The soldier said, "Certainly this man was innocent, a just man." They read what was happening right before them, and they're shocked. They're shocked. It's wrong. But if Jesus was merely an innocent man suffering an unjust fate, well, we'd have just one more tragedy in a big, long list of tragedies. Just another sad story in this fallen world. We'd see mankind doing it again, getting it wrong, possessed by hatred to the point of murder, rising up in hatred against the innocent. But on that cross was more than an innocent man, even one who is more than all the angels and archangels. Truly, this was the Son of God. The bridegroom who sent out the invites to the wedding feast was spurned. The tenants of the vineyard saw the heir, and they plotted to kill him. They cried out, "Crucify him! Away with him!" They wanted what wasn't theirs. Here, the Lord of glory, the creator of the world, the God over all, who took on human nature to bring light and life to mankind, who overcame the devil himself, allowed himself to be overcome by wickedness. Our wickedness, and God's just wrath over that wickedness. Even the greater light to rule the day failed to shine, as if it couldn't bear to watch such a travesty. Even the earth, when it saw this, it was as if it quaked and tore its rock at this blasphemy against its creator. The cross is terrible. It shows what our sinful hearts wanted. We were capable of the most horrible thing imaginable. We see Adam's sin in its full bloom as we seek to become our own God, call God our creator evil, cry out for God's gruesome death as we set to fully reject and kill the God who is love and really be away with him on our own. So free to be slaves. We see our sin for what it is in its greatest magnitude, with the most horrifying result. We see each sin for what it really is. We see what our sins have caused and what they merit in all its horror. We who think of sin but lightly, to err is human. Nor suppose the evil great, everybody does it. Here may see its nature rightly. Hear the cries of your God on the cross. Here its guilt may estimate. Look then and see God's wrath over sin. He didn't play around with Uzzah, Korah, Lot's wife. God doesn't play around with sin. Laugh it off, sweep it under the rug, shove it into a closet with no consequences. No. He stored up his wrath over every sin that we think a trifle. He let the cup of his wrath over all sin be filled to the brim. And we add more drips and drops, don't we? And we don't even drink it. And then the Father had his own Son drink that bitter, agonizing drink to the last drop and die. Look at the cross and be horrified by sin, by its murderous rebellion against God. See the punishment for your sin. Behold your sin's true weight, the heaviest of heavy, suffering and death of God, the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Behold the full payment for your sin made for you. For what Christ suffered here, he didn't suffer for his own sake, but for yours. Behold love. Jesus willingly suffered and died for you. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Oh, it's not fair. Not fair at all. But it surely shows God's love for you. The Father struck, smote, and afflicted his Son as the sinner of sinners, not because Jesus deserved it. Jesus knew no sin, but was made to be sin for you. The wages of our sin is death. And the Lord Jesus endured the punishment for every sin ever, great and small. Jesus received our wages. He paid the penalty. So that when death tries to hold on to you because of your sin, you can say, "Death, you've already been paid. You have no claim on me." We can say the same to the devil and all of hell. For our sins, evil done, good omitted, all of them have been paid for by Jesus Christ in our place. On Good Friday, the cross should shock and shame us all. This is what our sins should have gotten us: beatings, mockery, wounds, eternal thirst and languishing. Our sins should have excluded us from communion with any and all things good. We deserve the wicked welcome of hell and eternal suffering and condemnation. Yet, on Good Friday, the cross of Christ must shock and amaze you with God's love. We deserve no light, no grace. We deserve the punishment now and ever. God's wrath and the law bring these threats against our sin. But that has all been administered not against us guilty ones, but the not guilty one, the innocent Son of God in our place. And so God's wrath is satisfied. The law's demands are finished. God declares the guilty not guilty for the sake of his Son who suffered in your place. Yes, God does what he threatens. The sinner must die. And so Jesus died in the place of all sinners. Yes, God also does what he promises. For Christ's sake, God forgives the sins of all the sinners. You sinners are forgiven. You live now abundantly and eternally for the sake of your crucified King and Lord. In his most holy name, amen.